All right, good morning. All right, today's the Super Bowl. Anybody got a dog in the fight? No? All right. I haven't had one in a long time. It was the Bears, and Bears is just no good. But I'm rooting for the Cincinnati. I will be honest. I lived in Westchester, Ohio, which is like 40 minutes from Cincinnati, and they're going crazy right now over there. Everything's orange and black, and all of a sudden they all became fans of football again. So it's a cool time. I'm a very, very competitive person, and it's kind of like my kids have that as part of them. So I'm going to challenge them this morning. I hope that you are okay with this. I'm going to bring them up this morning, all right? And this is what I need you to do. Bring one chair. Bring one chair, all right? Don't break the chair, all right? Cool thing, I don't know if you saw the pictures, but I learned something as a parent today. My kids can do dishes, right? It's an awesome thing. All right, this is Natalie, this is Jackson. I'm not going to ask you to sit in the chair. I'm going to ask you to hold the chair out. All right, all the way out. Don't break anything that's really expensive up here, all right? All the way out, arms extended out. All right, there we go. Okay, so no hospital visits, okay? All right, tell me when you're ready. You can do it right here then, all right? Okay, Jackson's like, no, I got it. All right, now for the rest of the sermon, sit there. And whoever drops their chair down gently loses. For the first one to do that loses, all right? How is he cheating? Neither does Natalie. That's okay. Relax. We'll throw flags on the play earlier, all right? What? All right. Anyway, we're good. All right, so as we go on, what I'm going to ask is Tim, like, if it's, like, 30 seconds and they're still good, I'm going to ask you to put another chair on top of that chair, okay? All right? Every 30 seconds, all right? So while I was in Westchester, I was a youth pastor for 8 years, loved it. This is one of those things I would do. It was an example that I would use, right? And it was a fun thing. I will tell you, one kid got up to 8 chairs, and then all of a sudden his like, muscles just gave away. It was awesome. You know, it was one of those kids that messed with me, and they couldn't move for like a week. I loved it, right? You know, you got to think creatively of how to get some of these teens back because they got very sensitive parents. You know, oh, they were just playing a game. So we're good. Oh, we're at 30 seconds. All right. We're doing Jackson first. You're lucky, Natalie. All right. There we go. Again, we have very expensive stuff behind you. Don't fall. All right. So we're good. All right, there we go. Oh, Nat. Oh! You do know, like, the one that drops this first will have to live with the misery of knowing they failed. The other one will love it. Are you okay? You don't want it to fall. I appreciate that. So there's this captain. I watched this video. Her name is Captain Cud. It was about in 2015, she was doing this march. And what this march was for 12 miles, she had to get complete 12 miles in 3 hours. That's 15-minute miles with 70 pounds on her back, all right? It's an amazing task. It's one of those badges that is highly, cherished. In fact, they say only 17% of those who try it pass that one. Now, I might be wrong. I'm seeing heads. I'm not sure. But that's what I've learned in the interviews that I saw, that and they're showing her coming to the finish line. And she's about 25 feet from the finish line. And her legs give out. She's carrying it like this. She's doing it, right? She's got that backpack on her back, and it's gone to the way where it's shifting over her head, and she's just losing balance, and she tumbles down. If you watch it without sound, it looks like the drill sergeants around her are just barking at her, just letting her have it. You turn the sound on, they are cheering her on. She has 25 more feet She gets back up, takes three steps, and it's like her knees just gave out again. And she's got 15 minutes left. For about a minute, are we good? I say we add another one. All right. What's awesome, they're my kids. Right? The second time she falls, yeah, nice. Second, you should have seen his face. Jackson, you don't have fans, man. Are we good? Do we need to have a support behind you? Trust fall? All right. All right. So the second time she falls, all of a sudden she's laying on the ground. She's got maybe at the most 10 minutes left before her time's expired to cross this line. And she's, at this moment, 18 feet away. She curls up and almost decides to quit. You can see it. You can see it in her. Like, I see the finish line, but I can't do it. My legs have already committed to saying it is over. It is over. And you have the drill sergeants, you have other soldiers sitting there going, you can do this, you got it. And they're just cheering her on. And all of a sudden, you see movement. And she still has 70 pounds. And imagine, she's weak, exhausted. She's been going at a pace that's beyond 15 minutes per mile. I don't know if you guys know, like, that's pretty quick. I probably run an 18-minute mile now. Like, that's bad. Oh, no! Oh, look at let's give it to him. Shirt down. Somebody needs a belt. All right. Thank you very much. Actually, I was going to have you keep the chairs up, but that's fine. Way to ruin my sermon. All right. All right. I was just kidding, but I like it. All right. Actually, yeah, just this is good. This is good. She finally gets back up. And it is sheer will that she makes it past the line. Every step she makes, she knows in the back of her mind, this is the last step. I don't think I'm going to make it. But her heart and everybody around her, she made it. And it's a cool event. It's so amazing. It's such an honorable thing to do. And to carry 70 pounds less than 3 hours for 12 miles on not a track, on rough terrain. Can you imagine what she probably, like, I can only, she probably didn't use her legs for like a week, right? I want to kind of give you some examples of this with us and how we handle sin. Like, it's a great thing what Captain Cudd was doing, but I think on the reverse side of it, we have a tendency to carry some things till it breaks us. And we have a tendency to allow people, instead of lifting us up, we feel the judgment of the fall. We're going to talk about strongholds today. Spiritual strongholds. And we can find this in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. The word I want to focus on really quick is the strongholds. All right? You see, it's like the last word on that slide. Demolish strongholds. What are strongholds? It comes from this Greek word that I'm not going to tell you because I'll mess it up. All right? But it's this Greek word, and what it means is a prison. It means prison. So demolish prisons. We sometimes will recognize that we put ourselves in a spiritual prison. And let me show you with what. These are the things that we find ourselves in spiritual prisons with. Obsessive worry. Anybody there? We live in a culture right now that it's really easy to be obsessively worrying about everything. It's just our nature now. We're reminded that at every corner, do I have my mask? Do I not? Am I going to get COVID? These are part of our life, right? Am I going to be paying my bills? Am I going to lose my job? Is my marriage going to make it? Do they love me? It just can go on and on and on and on, and it can be a stronghold. It can be your prison. Fear. Fear's right up there. He calls us to fear nothing, right? But fear God is the only thing, and it's not the same fear. It's a respectful fear. This one is terrified of everything. Before I go on, I just want you to know this is a huge issue with teens today and young adults. Do you know the key term that they live under right now? Anxiety. Do you know where anxiety is rooted in? Fear. Do you know what that shows? God is not dwelling. They're imprisoned with this. And it is moving and ruining their life. Jealousy. I mean, these are just, I don't have to go through and explain them all. Addiction. Lust. Selfishness. Lying. Gossip. Judgmental thoughts, etc. Look at this list. This is a really basic list. The problem is we can live in this, and what we tend to do is stack ourselves up with even just one from this list. And then we think it's okay in our life. Can you imagine, first off, you deciding one day, okay, this is going to be okay for me to carry around forever. I'm just going to carry this, all right? I'm going to walk through my life. I'm going to go to Walmart. I'm going to push a cart. And people are going to look at me and go, we're all going to be carrying our burdens. And imagine if it was just written out and people could see it all the time. To a point that we have gotten so good and so strong non-spiritually that we believe it's okay to live with this. This bondage. This prison. And it is not how God intended us to be. God loves you so much that, listen, the things that in which these things are sins, right, that separate us from God have an originality in a place that was holy. That once sin entered, it corrupted us. And it corrupted everything that was holy with us. And now we abuse it. Fear was good. Fear of God is good. Fear of everything else, not good. Can you imagine a life without worry? Anybody? Can you imagine a life without worry? I want you to know, I woke up at 4 this morning, not worried about this sermon, not worried about anything. I worried because I heard my floor being stepped on. I was like, who's coming in? Guarantee it was Natalie getting up super early to use the restroom and then go back to bed. But I was like, I'm hearing it. Do I need to grab my bat? And then I go and accidentally hit Natalie, and then now I've got to worry about something else. Worry can punish us and age us, right? Imprison us. It comes from the spot, I love my family and I want to protect my family. But then I turn it into a big giant worry. Well, where are they going to be successful? Where they go? Is Jackson going to be able to make it in life? Is Natalie going to be able to make it in life? You know, I've got to worry about these things. Are they going to be supplied? Like, what's their world going to look like when they step outside and be their own? Man, it just starts to pile up and pile up and pile up. And we are called to be free from that. Do you understand that? You are called to be freed. I hear that again. You are called to be freed from all this. You don't have to carry your burdens anymore. You don't have to be in prison with sin anymore. But I'm going to show you what it says in Ephesians. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in mighty power put on the full armor of God. I wish I had this memorized, to be honest. I wish I can be like the Braveheart moment where he's going across and yelling at the what it means to have freedom. And that moment, like, yeah, I want to go to war, right? Any other person? Yeah! Right? This is that moment for us. Finally, be strong in the Lord, in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against devil's schemes. And then he goes on, for our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but it is against rulers and authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of the evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with readiness to come from the gospel of peace. Now, don't get hung up on the breastplates and where it's at. Get hung up on what it is. Right? You stand firm with truth. You understand the gospel is peace. These are your weapons. Imagine going to war like this. When we think about the things that are killing us right now, weighing us down, our spiritual prisons. Think about it right now. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I guarantee we're all struggling with something. Nobody in here is perfect. Nobody in here has it all together. Nobody in here isn't dealing with some kind of sin that they're going, God, please take. The problem that we have is we hide it. Just like Adam and Eve did the moment that they started sinning, the moment they took the apple and they were embarrassed and full of shame and they put on the covers and hid from God. We still live in that. Do you understand? The problem is for us, we think, well, God's good. He doesn't see what I do. He's so busy with the rest of the world. I'm going to tell you that's a lie. Because he knows every hair on your head. And as I get older, he has to recount. That's how much he cares about you. You. And he's not up there going, some cosmic God waiting for you to fail and go, all right, time to put my thumb on him and just let him know. You've messed me up. He's not sitting here going, let me add another chair like I was. You know what God is doing? He sees what you're doing. He sees the pain. He sees how you are a prisoner to the sin that life is ruining you. And says, let me take it. Lay it down at my feet. You don't have to be shameful of it because guess what? I sent my son to die for you for this. And the moment that you accept this, the moment that you understand that, the moment that you're freed from it, it is wiped clean. Wiped clean in his eyes. We live in a world that we don't have a tendency to forget things. I love my wife. She's probably going to hurt me. She does such a great job of memorizing the date and the time and the issue that I caused. I mean, it's a gift. I have gotten to the point that I have decided when I win a fight, I put it on my phone and save it in my calendar. And then I'm going back, well, on June 15th, it's a long time ago. It's only two times. We have a tendency to keep record of wrong. Our maker and creator is an expert of wiping them clean. And as a follower, as a disciple, we need to understand that just as much. We need to understand that the wrongs that somebody has done shouldn't be held against them. There's a verse that says, and in fact, we talked about it in how Jesus taught us how to pray. If I'm to ask for forgiveness, what is the other part of that? I need to learn to forgive others. The amount that I hold against somebody else is the amount that God will judge me with. Do you hear that? There's a lot of us, I think, that live up here in our spiritual minds and hearts and thoughts. And we have forgotten the giant log in our own eye. Do you understand that? That's scripture. It is so easy to find the speck in somebody else when we're walking with a giant log or chairs or whatever around going, man, I'm so much better than them. Imagine in the world that we live in today where it's very polarized. We can be one way, we can be the other way, and there is no compromise, where Jesus comes in and says, I don't care what way you are, I love you, I'm the way. And what if a church decided, you know what, I want to take that upon me. I don't care what you've done in the past. I don't care where you've gone right now, last week. As long as you know Jesus loves you, you're welcome to be part of this way. Right? Strongholds. We got to remember what Jesus has called us to be. You know, in John, really cool verse. John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. He will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Do you guys believe that? Do you believe that? That if we confess, God will wipe it clean. Why do we hold on to it then? If we believe it, why do we hold on to it? And I'm going to tell you right now, what we have done spiritually is we've grown comfortable again to living like this. Living with the thing that wasn't ever a part of us. And I don't know about you, there was a time in my life I felt like I was down at the altar every week trying to go, God, fix me, correct me. I don't want to lust anymore. And it became to a point, I'm like, God, why aren't you fixing me? Why aren't you moving in me? You see, we live in a broken world. Sin is here. Sin is going to be a part of our lives. There's going to be moments that I trip up. But this is what's amazing. I don't let that trip up rule and reign in my heart anymore. I have been redeemed. I live a life that is new life. And yes, that sometimes the only way that I can not just sometimes, all the time, that I can live this life is by the grace and mercy that Jesus provides me. And it is only through his strength that I can do it. You hear that? And this is where it comes from. We need to understand the person that frees us from the prison is not our own actions. It is through Jesus Christ's actions. And we accept that. And we do that by what? Confessing. Confessing to God. Now, this is the hardest part of what Scripture is talking to us about. It's found in James. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. This is the hardest part, isn't it? I'm not wanting to see a hands. This is rhetorical, but I would love for you to ask the simple question, when's the last time you honestly confessed to somebody? Think about that. When's the last time you confessed about knowing that this is sitting here and I can't let it sit here anymore? I'm not living a life that God has want me to live. But the power of shame and guilt rule, and I can't trust. Trust is a big thing, right? Trust is really big. Why do you think he calls us to go to war with truth? It is a weapon that we easily frail about, but when it comes to action, it's scary. There's also another part that he calls us to wear, which is faith, which is just a better word for truth and trust. Faith in stepping out in something that makes me go and confess to my brother or sister that I need help and love and cared, and I need you to be praying for me. You see, church, we are called to be responsible not just for our own spiritual walk, but for each other's. To be engaged with each other, to be praying for each other, to be loving each other. And if a world wants us to see it authentically lived out, then we need to also understand we are imperfect, but God has made us perfect. And we live that out by confessing to God and confessing to each other. It's a very difficult thing to do. You put yourself out on the ledge with another human, but the reality is you're trusting God will use this. God will use my brother and sister to love on me, to help me fight this battle. We've got to stop being just this between me and God in my spiritual walk, especially when it comes to strongholds. Anybody go to war just by themselves in history? How in the world do we think that we could do this by ourselves? We are called to be an army of believers, warriors for Christ, to stand firm in our faith, to bring the gospel of peace, to be truth tellers. Be a brother and sister that will hear a confession and love on that brother and sister and support them. It doesn't need to go on a prayer chain when somebody confesses to you. Prayer chains are not bad. Don't hear me wrong on that. But there are some things that need to stay private between two people. And if somebody confesses to you, that's between you, them, and God. And you have the honor to live out as a righteous person before them. And it's not a bad righteous person. It's bringing back the righteousness that God has called you to be. We need to be bringing the righteousness that God has called us into this world that is so unrighteous. Be a loving church this morning, this is what I'm going to offer. I'm going to offer you an opportunity to get rid of some of the baggage, the prison that you find yourself in this morning. Peg's up, going to come up, and she's going to play a little for me, but I this is what I want to do. Maybe this morning it just needs to be between you and God, and that you need to confess whatever's going on between you and God. I want you to take a moment and pray about that before you step up. The other thing this is a scary one. Maybe you need to confess to a brother or sister this morning and know that you are not carrying this alone, that you're not in this prison alone, and that the freedom can be found within that confession. Maybe you need to find that person this morning that you can confess to. And if you are that person, to understand what that means. You are representing God in that moment and nobody else. Do you understand? So what I'm going to ask is to take a moment. She's going to start playing, and to take a moment. What are you holding on to that you know has got a stronghold in your life that's bearing you down? That you see the finish line of life, that you see that you're in this journey, that you just can't carry on anymore. You've carried it for so long, it's become a part of you. And you see yourself in the mirror and you don't even recognize what God has made, and you've messed it up to be something else than that God had intended. This morning can be a morning where you go, God, please forgive me, and you wipe clean and you recognize what God has created. And you are free from that bondage. This is an opportunity to do that. You see, this right here needs to become a rhythm of our life. Confession. It cleanses our hearts. It helps us become what God has desired us to be. Let's pray. The altars are open if you need them. Lord, I pray that we hear your voice this morning. Lord, I pray that you shine your light on our lives and examine our hearts, examine where we're at. And Lord, I pray that you call us to the carpet of what we need to confess to. Lord, I believe some of us are just tired of holding on to the things that are so hurtful and painful and shameful. Lord, I pray that we trust you this morning, that you can forgive us of all those things. I pray that we're free from the bondage of sin this morning. I pray that we're free from the guilt that we feel on a daily basis. I pray this morning we can be new in your presence. May you wipe our records clean. May our sins not be held against us anymore. Lord, I pray that we find people in our lives that we can trust, that has our intentions to be godly with us, that we don't have to carry our burdens alone. Teach us how to trust you and to trust others. This morning, Lord, I pray that the most important thing that's happened today is that we have been forgiven. That we feel anew, we have been redeemed. And we can celebrate in that. We lay all our hurts, all our worries, everything that separates us from you, Lord, this morning. I pray that we lay them down at your feet and we ask for forgiveness. We thank you for your patience with us. Lord, I pray that we are a church that understands that we are at war and that we are called to be your warrior. We thank you for all that you've given us. I pray that we live our life that is not bound by sin, but free in Jesus. We give you all the grace. We give you all the praise. We give you all that you have desired. I pray that we give our lives to you this morning. We thank you for what you've done. Amen. Church, stand with me. This is my charge for you this week. Become a warrior for God. Trust that He loves you more than your sin, more than anything else, that He's strong enough to forgive you for everything, and that you believe it, and that you live that way. Go and be the church. Go and be the warrior for God this week. Love you, church.